God, and these words from Scripture are read, may it be to us as if the heavens are opening and we see your Spirit descending on us like a dove, revealing your love for us as your children. Our first scripture reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with waters for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased."
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the Psalms, from the second Psalm. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
John the Baptist. Renegade son of a temple priest, a voice crying out in the wilderness, the last of the Old Testament style prophets. John the Baptist is many things. Meek and mild, he is not. Non-political, he certainly is not. John tells the Hebrew people to prepare the way of the Lord. He tells them that they have wandered far from their roots and far from God. They've wandered so far away that they're lost. They are lost in a spiritual wilderness with no idea where they are or how to get back to where they need to be. Well, what do you do when you've gotten yourself all turned around and you don't know how to get where you're going? If you can, you go back to somewhere you knew where you were and you start over. The Hebrew people desperately needed to go back to somewhere spiritually where they knew where they were and start over. They needed to repent. To repent is not merely to acknowledge that what you did hurt somebody. It is not just saying, I'm sorry someone was bothered by what I did. That's not even an apology. To repent is not merely to acknowledge that what you did was wrong. It's not just saying, my bad. To repent is not merely to acknowledge that what you did hurt someone else and that you wish you could have it to do over. It is not merely saying, I'm sorry. To repent is to take your life in a U-turn, to truly change how you live your life so that you don't do that bad thing again. The Hebrew people need to go back to where they started in the Promised Land. They got there by crossing the Jordan River, and they need to start over. So picture this. John is standing there in the middle of the Jordan. He preaches to the people that they need to repent, to go back, and he baptizes them in the river. John is a good man, but he's all too human. He's personally disappointed when some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, figures of the establishment, come down to the river. They need to hear his message, perhaps more than anyone else, because they're not just going the wrong way, they're leading the people in the wrong way. But in his guts, he feels like they're the enemy. He's been kind of looking forward to seeing them get their just desserts. That's why he asks them, who warned you, you brood of vipers? He tells them that they need to repent, and it should show in their lives. It should show in how they live. That's what bearing fruit worthy of repentance looks like. He tells them that being descended from Abraham is not good enough. God gave Abraham lots of descendants. And if there are no descendants of Abraham around who are good enough, God could raise some up from the very stones on the ground. But then he baptizes them. He even baptizes them. He lets them start over. Then Jesus comes down to the river. He stands there a while, listening to his cousin preach. But then he steps into the river. John's been preaching for a while now about prepare ye the way of the Lord. He knows who Jesus is when he's standing there in front of him. Jesus tells John to baptize him, to fulfill all righteousness. All of the prophecies about the Messiah say that he will be righteous. He will be the example that will define what righteousness is. Righteousness is one of those important Bible concepts, like sin. Like sin, there are lots of people who have very narrow, very specific ideas of what righteousness is. Like sin, righteousness is not primarily about sex or who you vote for or how you dress or any of a thousand things that people have said were righteous or less than righteous. Righteousness is not about obsessing over every conceivable sin and making sure that you don't ever do anything less than perfect. More often than not, that turns into self-righteousness, which is not the same thing at all. Righteousness is not being perfect. Righteousness is not about being perfect. Righteousness is about being in relationship with God. Jesus is getting ready to start his ministry on earth. He's getting ready to call his disciples to teach and eventually to die on the cross. He's getting ready to start his ministry. So he makes sure to fulfill all righteousness, to make sure his relationship with the Father is where it needs to be. He starts at the beginning, in the waters of baptism. We live in a world where the concept of righteousness is thrown around a lot, don't we? And where nobody seems to agree on what it is. If you don't hear the word righteous, you certainly hear the word corrupt. You hear about truth and competing statements claiming to be true. He said, she said doesn't begin to cover it. We hear about fake news and alternative facts. So many of these things are thrown around. Pontius Pilate's question would stand today too. What is truth? It can be easy to become spiritually lost. Well, if we might be lost, let's go back to the beginning. The place where each of us began our Christian walk. The font. And the promises we made, or that were made for us, at baptism. Hear these words from Holy Scripture. Just as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ.
For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit.
Beloved people of God, our baptism is the sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and our being grafted onto Christ through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ. The power of sin was broken, and God's kingdom entered our world. Through our baptism, we were made citizens of God's kingdom and freed from the bondage of sin. Let us celebrate that freedom and redemption through the renewal of the promises made at our baptism. I ask you, therefore, once again, to reject sin, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we were baptized. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world?
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love?
I will, with God's help.
With the entire Church of Jesus Christ, let us confess our faith. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory to you, O God. Your voice is over the waters, full of power and majesty. Your word shakes the wilderness and blesses us with peace. We give you thanks and praise for the new thing you have done in Jesus Christ our Savior. Baptized by John in the Jordan, you anointed him with your Holy Spirit and claimed him as your beloved Son. We give you thanks and praise that by the grace of our baptism, you have claimed us as well and poured out the gifts of your Spirit so that we might be dead to sin and alive to you in Christ Jesus. Continue to pour out your Spirit upon us. Empower us to love and serve you and to live as your faithful people, bearing witness to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I understand.
And then in December,
So that's what we did. I should not be contagious, or I would not be here. We have backup plans.
That's the Department of Health talking.
I understand. Yes.
As if we don't ever go to work. They should call it the Department of Disease.
Yeah.
My professor of psychology.